ready? How many are ready to live in the zone? Anybody else? So thank you. You three people are blessed today. Anybody else want to be blessed and walk in a blessed place? There we go. All right. We believe that God has called us to walk in the zone. When people look at us, they should say there's something different about you. If you're a Christian, people should look at you and say there's something different about you. This person is walking with the hand of God upon their life. This person is walking in the favor of God. They should realize that, man, there's something different about them. They are walking with a new peace. They're walking in a place where it's just not natural. It's kind of what people say when the golfer's out there and he's hitting that ball in the sweet spot, driving it long and straight all day long. Everybody's like, man, that guy is in the zone today, man. He just can't get out. When he's hot and he can't miss from the three-point line, people are like, man, he's in the zone. When that person who's working business and everything he touches, it seems to be turning over for profit and having breaking records and things are just happening. Touches comes to gold, you know. People look and say, man, that guy's just so way above his head. It's like he's just living in the zone. Well, that's what God wants for you and I, to have a place where people look at us and say, that person's walking in a blessed place in their life. And today we should be in that place. Today I want to talk to you about the thought of about your heart. How is your heart? That's the question. How is my heart? How is your heart today? I'm going to let you in on a little secret, okay? Do you want to know? Someone, people say, you know, Pastor, what is the catch here? You know, if we become a Christian, what's the catch to becoming a Christian? I'm going to fill you in on what the catch really is about becoming a Christian. It's this, that if you haven't noticed by now, that God is after your heart. Everything that he wants from us, he's after our total heart. He is pursuing us. As we're talking about giving, as we talked about the last couple of weeks, we know this one thing. The reason why he is wanting us to give is because he's trying to change something inside of me and something inside of you. He wants to change our heart. We have a heart condition. We have a heart condition that he's wanting to change. He says we are to love the Lord God with what? All of our heart. Our heart. Where your treasure is where your heart is also, right? We know this to be true. So this is why God is trying to teach you and me to be givers, is because he's trying to do something in our heart. Let's go ahead and go to our text here today. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 37 and 38, he gives us commands. He says, don't judge. He says, judge not, and you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive. Everybody say that word. Say, forgive. Now, let's say this two words. Say, forgive. The root of give is forgive is what? Give. And for means you're in favor of. This is how we define it, according to how we break down the verbiage here. Forgive. So if you're a forgiving person, that means you are in favor of giving. Let me say this to you. You will never learn to be a forgiving person, forgiving others, until you learn to be a giving person. You can't give away forgiveness if you're selfish. You can't give away forgiveness if you're a greedy person. He says you got to learn to what? Forgive. Forgive and what? You'll be forgiven. He breaks it down even again to the root word, give, and it'll be given to you. And he explains it. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put back into your lap. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. We see this thing being broke down here that back in Jerusalem during this time, that they would actually take the very center of the harvest field, and that's where the workers would go. You could almost take like a compass and draw it around in a complete circle diameter, and that's where the heart of all the best crops were, and they would harvest everything with there. And because of law, they would use the very edges. They would leave out for those who were poor or in need. And so if you were poor in need, you could actually go to the harvest fields during harvest time, and you were allowed to take away from the edge. Now, the workers who were working the fields every day, they would just kind of fill up their basket halfway because it was kind of heavy to carry it back and forth all day long. And so they carry, just kind of make it kind of light load, and they empty it and come back and get more. That was their job. But those who came from a long ways, those who were in need, those who only had one barrel that were going to get full and it's going to last them a long time, they came and they filled it up. And then they would, after they filled it up to the top, they would get and they would press it down. I imagine they'd say, son, get on top of there and jump up and down. They send their son up there. Not you, get the other one. You know, get up there, you weigh a little more. Get up there and push it up and down. We want that thing crushed down all the way. And they get off there and like, boy, there's a lot more room. So they put some more back in there. And then they get back down and press it down again. And then once it was all pressed down, then they would shake it to make sure all the edges were just falling down. Oh, there's even more room. And then they pile it on till it just ran over. This is what God was saying. He said, as you give out forgiveness, as you don't condemn people, as you give out the same measure, I'm going to give it back to you, but I'm also what? I'm going to give it to you pressed down. I'm not just going to give you half full. I'm going to press it down. It's going to be full. When we say full, it's going to be full. It's going to be full, and it's going to not only be full, it's going to be pressed down. We're going to shake it, and then we're going to let it run over. That's the kind of blessing that God is wanting to do in our life with our giving. When we plant, though, we know this right here. When we plant, we get back things in return, right? So if I plant, if I take one apple seed and I plant an apple tree, do I get one apple seed back? No. I open up the apple and I get how many? Lots of seeds, don't I? It's the rule of planting seed, you get back a lot more seed. And this is the way God has always established in our life that he's wanting to unlock something in us. But before we can do that, we got to learn first what? To be givers. We got to learn to give away. It's a heart issue. And if you haven't learned that by now, I wanted to say it to you again, that our giving is all about our heart. It's all about our heart. So I'm going to give you four things that have to do with our heart about giving today. Four things that we need to deal with so our hearts keep right about giving. Number one, we got to deal with a selfish heart. We have to deal with a selfish heart. We're going to read the story here in Deuteronomy 15:9. And the first part of this chapter, God had given the command, and he was saying, this is what I want you to do. When you come into the promised land, he was telling the children of Israel, they're coming into the new promised land. He goes, if there are those who are in need and who are really struggling, he goes, you help them out and give to them. And give to them and help make sure they're okay. And after he told them to give, this is what he followed up with. And I believe we can look at it today and really see how it really correlates with our heart today. And he was telling them, beware, when you give, beware of these things. He says in verses 9 and verse chapter 15, be careful not to harbor what? Wicked thoughts. This wicked thought in particular. He said, the seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near. So what would happen? What would happen is this, is that people in that day, every 7 years, every debt was canceled out, and you just started over from scratch. How many think that's a great system we should implement today? It's great. We're all in favor. Say aye. Aye. It's passed. Okay. Wouldn't it be great? Every 7 years, all your debts completely just canceled out, and you start over. That's the law they had at that time. And so what would happen is this. He said, listen, when you give to somebody, don't let your mind get worried about, all right, the seventh year is getting close, so that you do not show ill toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of the sin. And so, as with anybody, it may be year six, and they say, man, I need some help. Can you help me out? And in your mind, you're like, yeah, I'll help you out, but wait. Can you just wait until the new year starts over? Because what if I give you this money, and then in 8 months, the new year starts, and this whole debt's canceled out? I'm not going to get anything back. And so it would keep people from being able to freely give in their heart because they were worried they were going to lose and not get back. And so God was saying to them, listen, be careful, guard your hearts of this wickedness, these wicked thoughts. They're natural thoughts, but they can be wicked when they involve greed. And he says this right here, that we got to let go of our selfishness. When you give it away, give it away. Don't worry about whether or not you're going to get it back. Just give it away is what he's saying. But this is the problem we have. I just read a verse in Luke chapter 6, verses 38, about how God, what we give, and it comes back to us. And we hear pastors and we hear preachers talk about this. We hear people talking about telethons about this. We got whole satellite channels dedicated to this. And we see this verse preached, and this is what we hear. This is what we're being told. Give and you'll get. Get, I'll get. I'm going to give so I can get. And don't you know that God is so happy when we hear this verse and we see this coming out and we say, yes, I'm going to give so I can get back. He's probably saying, yes, my people are finally getting it. They've caught it. I want them to get. No. He's trying to do something in us to change us to be givers. And even though, yes, there is promises of blessing that follow those who give, I don't want to tell you that's not the truth, because it is. It's very true. God is going to bless you. You can't give to God with a pure heart and not come back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. It'll blow you away when you give to God with a pure heart. No alternative motives. God, I'm not giving to you to get back. I'm giving to you to be obedient. God, I'm giving to you to be a blessing. God, I'm giving to you to break a selfish spirit in my heart. I'm giving to you. And that's what God wants us to get, is our heart changed. Do you think God is up there thinking, boy, if the church doesn't give this week, I'm going to be bankrupt. Woo! No. No. He's wanting us to give so that he can change our heart. See, it's all about the heart. How can I give forgiveness to Aaron if I'm a selfish person? How can I forgive you when I don't want to forgive you? He hasn't even asked me for forgiveness. How can I help Mike and give to Mike if, well, I don't want to, I need that money. How can I serve Carlos? Well, no, I need that time. I wanted to play golf today. I don't have time to come help you do what you need done. I have got to change my heart, because in order for God to change me to become the blessing that he wants me to be to everybody I come in contact with, I've got to change my heart. I've got to learn not to be a selfish person. That's exactly where it's at. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's right there. God is trying to change my heart. God is trying to change my heart. God is trying to change my heart. Why? Because God so loved the world that he what? Gave. It's the central theme of the Bible. God gave. Christ gave. He left heaven to what? Walk this earth. He gave his position. He gave and came down and walked as a man on earth. He gave himself to the cross. He gave himself to you and I, that while we were yet sinners, he what? Died for you and I. He gave. It's the whole central theme of the Bible. Giving. God gave of himself. So every time I give, I'm breaking a selfish spirit. Every time I give of my time, I'm breaking a selfish spirit. Every time I give of my money, I'm giving away a selfish spirit. I'm breaking it away. Every time I give of my treasure, I'm giving away. I give of my talent. I'm helping break the selfish spirit that I naturally have inside of me. I want to learn to be a giver, and he wants us to learn to be a giver. So he's trying to change our heart. This is what he's trying to do in us. He's trying to help us to learn not to be selfish and to give. But it's a hard thing to do, isn't it? It's a hard thing to catch. It's a hard thing we teach our children. I shared an illustration about 6 years ago. Some of you may remember it who were here back in the early days. Most of you were not here, so this is going to be new to you. I told a story about Skittles. How many like Skittles? Anybody like Skittles? Several years ago, I was in the store, and we were coming down the aisle to check out. And I don't know about you, but I used to really despise going down the aisle with my kids when you checked out. Because don't you know, they just put all the candy right there at eye level for every kid to get. And if a line's full, you know, and everybody's around you, and the kid's like, ah, I want this candy! And you're like, shh, no, no. I don't want to spend it. If I buy you one, I got to buy your sister one. I got to buy your brother one. And is this? Nah, and I do this every time I come in. Man, I'm spending $30 a month on candy. No! I used to have a little Vulcan pinch, you know, like, no, yeah, look over there. Don't you ever ask me in front of people, get out. They start throwing that little tantrum, you're like, zee! Kids like, I'm like, Holy Spirit, take it right there. Just fall out right there. Take it. And I remember one time Preston was with me, and we were by ourselves, and he was about 5 or 6 years old, probably closer to 5, Preston. And for some reason, I felt sorry that day, and I was feeling really good. So I bought him a big box of Skittles like this. And he asked me for Skittles. I bought him the Skittles. We get in the car, and he opens them up, and he starts eating them. And I smell them. I mean, you can smell Skittles, can't you? I can smell the rainbow from here. Oh, yeah. I said, Preston, can I have one of your Skittles? Because I love Skittles. And Preston, being, I was so proud of him, you know? You train your kids up right, and you know what he said to me? No! These are my Skittles! That's what he told me. He had the audacity at 6 years old to tell me no. These were his Skittles that I had just bought for him. Because this is what's so funny is this, is that Preston didn't realize, number one, I bought these Skittles. I paid for these Skittles. I gave him these Skittles. Number two, what he didn't realize is this. If I wanted to, I'll put my foot right in his chest, and I will grab these Skittles out of his hand, and I'll eat them all if I want to. If I wanted to, I could do that. I'm stronger than he is. Not anymore, but I was. Come on, don't ever tell me you don't ever have those thoughts in your brains. Okay, with your kids. And what Preston didn't realize is if I wanted to, I could have marched him right back in that store and bought him 1,000 bags of Skittles. But he had no idea to comprehend that. You see, that's the same thing in our life, is that we got to realize this, is that, you know, we're like, God's like, I want you to give. And you're like, no! God, I want you to give your time. No, it's my time. I want you to give your talent. No, that's my talent. I want you to give your tithe and offering. No, that's my money. And we got to realize whose money it really is. We got to realize how much that God can bless me so much more. He's the one that gave it to me. He can take it from me, or he can choose to give me a lot more than one box of Skittles. See, we got to change our mindset and not be selfish people. Number two, we got to move beyond that and realize that God is not only calling us not to have a selfish heart, but to deal with our grieving heart. Deuteronomy 15:10, as we deal with our grieving heart, look what it says here. And surely, he says, after you give to him, your heart should not what? Be grieved. He says, don't grieve, man. When you give to him because of this thing, the Lord your God will what? He will bless you in all of your works and all which you put your hand to do. I mean, you're living in the zone, man. When God says, I want to bless you, well, you're living in the zone where I bless everything you touch, the things you're in charge of, the things you're overseeing, the things you're trying to do. If you want to be blessed, he says you give, and then you don't grieve. You see, selfishness is what we struggle with before we give. Grieving is what we struggle with after we give. Some of you gave a big offering a couple weeks ago. You brought the first fruits, and some of you gave a tremendous offering. It was a sacrifice, and you brought that offering, made some big pledges. And you get home that week, and I guarantee you, what happened? You get in the car and something goes wrong with the car. Refrigerator starts going out, microwave's going out, the vacuum cleaner quits, toilet breaks and floods. So, come on. Anybody else have that happen to you? And what's your mind do right away? Oh, God. I shouldn't have gave that big offering. I need that money back, God. I need that. I gotta fix my car. I gotta fix my refrigerator, God. And we start grieving already about what we've given away. And God's like, when you give it away, don't grieve. Don't grieve it. Don't grieve it. Don't be like you just lost your best friend. Some of you act that way. And I think there's a string attached to our wallet, to our heart. Have you ever seen it? Because you see people grab their wallet and like, oh, yeah. I mean, they had a Fred Sanford attack right there. Elizabeth, it was the big one right here, man. First fruit offering. I'm not being selfish, but man, I'm grieving it the whole way. And God said, don't grieve when you give. Give it rejoicing. You ever have random thoughts come in your mind when you're speaking? Am I the only one that ever has random thoughts? When I'm trying to preach to you, and I just have random thoughts come to my mind. You know what? I just realized something. I didn't bring any cash, and I got to take my kids to eat after church. I got to feed my family after church, and I don't have any cash to take them to eat. Oh, Pastor Matt, look at this. Pastor Matt, oh, awesome, Pastor Matt. Hang on, Pastor Matt. This is, he's pretty generous. He gave me $40. That's awesome. But have you ever seen my family eat? All right, okay, there you go. All right, 20, 40, 60, 100 bucks. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Man, wow. Just got 100 bucks to go eat on. My kids are smiling already. Yes. This is great. Isn't that nice of him to give me this money? That's so good. Some of you are thinking, Pastor Matt may have did really good. You know, why was it so easy for Pastor Matt to give me that money? Because before service, I gave him that money. I gave him that money ahead of time. So it was really easy for him to step up and say, yeah, here you go. He walked back smiling, even gave me more. Why? Because he was just giving back to me what I had already given him. It's going off right in the light bulb. I can see it right now. Bing, 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 all across the room. See, how do you not grieve about giving? When you say, God, it all belongs to you anyway. God, it all belongs to you. See, the scripture says that all the earth is his. Everything is his. And when you value and see that everything I have belongs to the Lord, when I return to him what's his, it's okay. It's okay. I don't grieve. God has given back to you what's already yours. If God asked me to give away a car, it's okay because God, that car was already yours anyway. If God asked me to open up my house and use it, it's okay, God, because it's your house anyway. God asked me to open up my bank account and give. It's okay, God. It belongs to you anyway. God wants me to give away my time. It's okay, God. It's your time anyway. God wants me to use my talents to help somebody. It's okay. Why? Because it's your talent, God. You're the one that gave it to me anyway. It changes. This is how we give without grieving when we see that everything we have belongs to him. I've said this before. It's been a while. Let me say it again today, that God is the owners and we are what? The managers. Think about that. God is the owner of everything. He just given to me to manage. For some of us here, he gives us a lot. For some of us here, we don't got a lot to manage. But I tell you this, you become a good steward now over what God's given you. You learn to give with a generous heart, without grief, without greed attached to it, and see if God doesn't bless you more and give you more responsibility. That's what he talked about in the parable. The talents, remember when he gave the talents to the three guys? Those who did something with it, he rewarded them more. Those who did nothing, he took it away. God is trying to break in us something in our heart. Giving is about our heart. He's trying to change our heart. If you're not getting that, if you see it about money, about paying off property, about tithing off, and you're missing the point. You've missed it. You've missed it. If you see giving is about getting back, you've missed it. Giving is about the heart. It's about the heart. God is trying to change my heart. He's trying to change your heart. He wants to change who we are. He's trying to make you and I giving people. See, if your security is in other things, you're in trouble. But you got to believe that God is your source. Not to grieve, you believe God is your source of everything and will change your heart. If you believe that the government is your source, you're going to be in trouble. If you believe that your paycheck is your source, you're going to be in trouble. If you believe your 401k is your source, you're in trouble. If you believe your pension is your source, you're going to be in trouble. Someone told me the other day, they just got a letter in the mail and said, you have a pension, but it may not be here if the company goes under. I mean, it's not our source. What is my source? My source is God. God, if I'm hungry, you're not going to allow me to go begging for bread. If I need shelter, you're going to shelter me. Through the good, you are my source. Through the bad, you are my source. Through the plenty, you are my source. Through the hard times, you're still my source. And my source will never change. My source will never change. And so as I see him as my source, it allows me to freely give. It allows me to give without grieving, without a selfish motive. And number three, we got to develop a generous heart. Learn to be generous. Deuteronomy 15, 14. Look what it says. You shall supply him what? Liberally. Generously is what it's saying here. Be generous, liberal, From what? Your flock, your threshing floor, from your wine press, from what the Lord God has what? Blessed you with. That's what he's saying. I bless you with all this. And whatever I blessed you with, generously give to him. Be a giving person. Let's read it again in Luke 6, 32, 36. Look what he says. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. But this is what God's trying to tell you and I right here. Look, what this is the hard issue. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them who need help, even if you won't get it back. That's what he says, hoping for nothing in return. See, listen, let me give you some good advice right here. Don't ever let anybody borrow money from you. It will run your family. It will run your friendship, okay? I'm just going to tell you straight up. You want to save yourself a lot of trouble? Don't loan that, be a person who loans out money. But just pray about it and say, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going to give it to you. That's my heart. If someone needs money, I'm going to pray about it. If the Lord leads me to, I'll give it to them. I'm not going to expect anything back. And if you give it to them and they pay you back, then whatever. That's great. But don't expect it back, okay? When you give it to them in your mind, just say, you know what? I'm giving this to you. It will save you, first of all, a lot of heartache and pain in relationships that will be torn up when that person doesn't pay you back when they promise to. And second of all, you become more like Christ. Well, he's telling us right here that I give and I expect nothing back in return. Look what God says. And your reward will what? Be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, you and I are the what? Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. See, God is trying to do something in you and I, is teaching you and I to be generous people. Because if he can change my selfish motives, if he can change me to not grieve after I give, and I become a generous person, you know what happens I am? I become a person who's a blessing to all I see. I'm a blessing to all who come in contact with me. I mean, if I'm walking down the street, if I'm walking into the store, and somebody there and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, hey, buy that person's groceries, I'm like, yes! I get to be a blessing to somebody. The Holy Spirit just told me. I'm going to follow them up, and they get ready to pay, and I'm like, hey, God told me to pay for this. Boom, I pay for it, and I just see them cry, and I become a blessing. I'm like, yes, I just blessed somebody, and this is so awesome. I mean, you can't experience that kind of giving. Somebody who's just lost everything, don't have a car, and you walk up and say, here's a car. If you've never done that, you've missed out. I'll tell you what, it's awesome that you can give them a car and say, God just told me to give this to you. It's awesome. You walk up somebody who's in need and say, man, God told me to pay your electric bill this month. But if you're not a generous person, you'll never hear that. And you'll experience, and what happens? We become a giver. You walk up to somebody and say, I forgive you. Even when you haven't asked me to forgive you, it frees you and it frees them. And they walk away saying, what just happened? That's the person I hurt. That's the person I did wrong. And they just forgave me and I didn't even ask them to forgive me. God must be up to something. See, if you're going to be a blessing to other people, you're going to have to change your heart. If we're going to become like Christ, we got to change our heart. He first gave to us. So while we were yet sinners, while we yet spat on him, plucked out his beard and crucified him, ripped his flesh from his bones and nailed him to a cross, mocked him and said he was not the Son of God, while yet in our sin, he died for us and forgave us. It's all about the heart. God's trying to change our heart. He's trying to change my heart because he wants you to be a blessing, and he wants to bless you so you can be a generous person blessing other people. He will get it to you if he can get it through you. That's right. He will get it to you if he can get it through me. It's the same thing that I'm dealing with my kids all the time. Anyone here have teenagers living in your house? Anyone here have young adults living in your house? Just let me know. Are we the only house that deals with this problem that we still have to teach our young adults and our young children and our young teenagers to share? Is it still not a battle sometimes? Do you still see this thing? I mean, it's okay when they're 2 and 3 and they go to play with the play date with somebody and you're like, share. I don't know why he's not sharing. He always shares. But for some reason today he doesn't want to share. Share. You act like, you know, it never happens. It's cute when it's 2 or 3. It's not cute when they're 13. It's not cute when they're 25. It's not cute when they're 45. It's not cute when they're 63. And we're still having to say, learn to share. Learn to share. You feel like God looks at us and says that? Learn to share. Learn to share. I'm wanting you to share. I'm wanting you to share. This is what God's asking. He's trying to change our heart. In closing, the fourth thing is develop a grateful heart. We've got to learn to be grateful about our heart. Deuteronomy 15:15, God reminds them. He says, listen, you shall remember. He just told them to give and to deal with all these things. And he says, remember that I am the one who brought you out. He says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. He's saying, you struggle with giving. Remember, you were a slave, and I brought you out to the land of plenty. You were a slave to Pharaoh. I freed you, and I'm sending you now to your promise. Remember that. And be grateful. And God says this, remember you and I, we got to learn to be grateful. We got to learn to be grateful people. If we're not grateful, we'll have a hard time being generous. But God says, remember where I brought you from. Remember how much I've forgiven you. Remember all the secret sin that I've forgiven you of that nobody else knows about. Remember all the things you did that were really bonehead decisions that I forgave you about. And you can't even help this brother out who stumbled, and I've forgiven you out over a major thing. God says, remember, 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 remember where I brought you from. With a grateful heart, God, I want to give out freely because God has given me freely. I want to bless others because God has blessed me. I want to forgive much. We said this last year in our mob group, guys. Remember when we talked about celebrating people who fall? We said it would be a great thing if we learn to celebrate people when they fall. He said, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Sometimes we have people who are trying to make it, and then they do really good, and about 4 or 5 weeks, maybe they fall and say, man, I made a big mistake, Pastor, I blew it. And our response should be this, yes! Come on, let's do this together. Everybody, this, go. Wolverines! All right, let's go, all right. So, I thought our response should be when somebody falls, because we're saying this, all right, you made it 4 weeks this time. Good job. Now get up. Let's go forward. Let's go 5 next time. And when they fall after 5 weeks, you, yeah, good job. You went longer this time than you did last time. Now let's go 6. Let's quit condemning the people. Let's pick them up and say, let's go forward. I don't want to condemn anybody. I've blown it. The times you've blown it at times. Pastor, I think you should just go condemn them. I ain't going to condemn them. Because if I condemn them, the Word of God says what? I'm going to get condemnation back. I'm going to get people condemning me. And I need grace in my life, just like you do. So I want to be people of grace. Doesn't mean we agree with everything. Doesn't mean we say what they're doing is right. But we're going to be grace givers. We're not going to condemn people. We're going to encourage them to change and encourage them to go forward. Pick them up and say, let's go forward, man. Let's do it. How can you have a grateful heart? It's when you have in perspective everything. Come here. I want my family to come and join me. Can I get my family to come and join me along the front here today? I tell you what. These are some honored kids right here. Come here, babe. Daddy's baby. Son, you down there by yourself? You alone? What's wrong, son? You just lay down there. I want my children up here today because I want you to know, you know how I can learn to be grateful? It's because I've learned that prosperity and riches are right here. First of all, my prosperity and my security comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Second of all, it comes through the family He's blessed me with. It's not about the bankroll. It's not about how much I have in my savings. It's not about the kind of car I drive. It's not about the kind of house I live in. Those things will come and go. This is what I'm most proud of. All my children love the Lord. This is what brings me the most pleasure in my life is that my kids love God. Even this honoring right here. We love the Lord, and they love the Lord. They love serving God. They want to come early. They beg to cry. If they can't come to the first service and be here for both services, they cry. Well, most of them do. They cry. Because they want to come. They want to fold the bulletins. They want to serve in the classes. They want to help in the nursery. They want to do anything they can. Because they just love serving the Lord. And you know what? That gives me the most pleasure out of anything in my life. Not what's in my bank account. That's going to go up. That's going to go down. That's not what gives security. What's giving security is my relationship with Jesus Christ, my family. My family, I want you to know what gives us security as well. Out here, every one of you, our relationships with each other. You can't buy this. You can't buy what we have together. You can't buy what God's doing in our lives, the relationships we have. I'm closer to many of you than I even am most of my own family. You can't buy that. You can't buy that. See, I can be grateful. I can be generous when I realize in perspective where real wealth comes. Real wealth comes in family. It comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And it comes through relationships that are meaningful in our life. And when I really realize that, I look around and say, you know what? I'm one of the wealthiest men I know. I'm a wealthy person. Because, see, my attitude's changed. Thank you, guys. I love you. You can be seated. Thank you. We've got to get past seeing our value in our things, our possessions, and see the value, first of all, is in a relationship with Jesus Christ and his relationship with our family and relationship with our friends right here. This is what's valuable. In fact, I could call any of you night or day and you'd be there for me. You can't buy that. You can't buy that kind of commitment. You can't buy that kind of love. Heaven forbid I'd ever have anything major happen, but if I did, you know what? I know what would happen. You guys would wrap your arms around me and you'd love me. You'd help do anything to restore me. You'd do anything because you love me. You can't buy that. And I would do the same with you. You can't buy that. See, my security, I can be generous because I know that it's all in him. It's all him. It's all my relationships. That's what makes me rich. If you think it has to do with your degree, if you think it has to do with your stocks or your savings, you're missing it. You're missing it. See, God's wanting to change our heart to be generous people. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. As our musicians are coming, our singers are coming today. Today, say, Pastor, I want God to continue to change my heart. I want God to make sure my heart stays open to giving. I want to make sure that I break a selfish spirit in my life. Can I get you to invite me to join me here on the front today as we close out? This is what we're going to do today. As you come to the front today, I want you to say, Pastor, I am ready to make sure that God continues just to change my heart to become that kind of person who's not selfish. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Listen, we're naturally people. We're natural people who naturally want to be hanging on to things. Scoot in, guys. Make room for those coming in the back here. We got some more room here. Maybe some of you guys can scoot here to the middle. There you go. Thank you. And we're just saying, God, I wanted to learn to make sure my heart stays pure before you, that my heart stays open to be a giving person. I want to learn to be a generous person. I'm still learning it. I don't want to tell you I've mastered it. I've come a long ways. I still got a long ways to go. You catch me on the right day, I can be as selfish as anybody in this room. No amens, honey. Okay. As long as it has to do with the remote, I'm okay. Other than that, that's my weak point sometimes. I can be selfish. And so we have to continue to say, God, how is my heart?
Is my heart selfish? Am I a giving person? The more I learn to give, the more I learn to break that selfish spirit in my life, the more I'm becoming like him, that I can give away forgiveness to those who don't even deserve it. I can give away grace to those who don't even deserve it. I can be a blessing to those who don't even ask, all because I'm learning to be a generous person. So we're going to sing the song today. We've never sung it here before. Some of you probably heard it. It says we're going to break every chain in our life. And I want you to see yourself as we say, we're breaking these chains. There's power in the name of Jesus to break these chains in our life. As we're breaking these chains, I want to say, God, you're breaking in my life the chain of greed. God, you're breaking in my life the chains of selfishness. God, you're breaking in my life the chains of self-worth being out of place into wrong things. God, you're changing in my life. God, you're allowing these chains to come in my life that I can be broken and become the giving person that you're calling me to be. Come on, let's proclaim it together. There's power in his name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain.
Hallelujah. Now raise your hands one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are breaking in us, God, a selfish spirit. God, you are breaking in us, God, things in our life that we have allowed to keep us from fully giving you everything we are. And God, it starts with our heart right now. So God, I pray for every heart here today. That God, you are breaking chains of selfishness. You're breaking chains of pride. You're breaking chains of doubt, of fear. And God, you're allowing us, God, to walk into a new promise. You're allowing us to walk as generous people, as a blessed people. God, our security is not in what man sees. Our security is in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our security is in the things that are relational that you've given us, God, to govern. And God, I thank you right now. I thank you right now that you are changing our minds. You are changing our hearts. And God, you are freeing us. God, I just feel a spirit of freedom coming over your people today. God, you are releasing all spirit of fear. You're releasing a selfish spirit. And God, you are allowing a new generosity to flow out of our heart. God, a new generosity to flow out of our spirit, out of our time, out of our talent, and out of our treasure. God, we give it to you today, and we say amen and amen. Come on, break every chain one more time.
There's an army rising up.
That's us with our army of God.
Lord, there's an army rising up. Oh, Lord, there's an army rising up.
To break every chain.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, there's an army.
There's an army rising up.
Oh, Lord.
There's an army rising up.
Oh, Lord.
There's an army rising up.
Come on, to break every chain.
Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every,
come on, to break every chain,
break every chain,
to break every chain,
to break every chain,
come on, there's an army,
there's an army rising,
oh,
there's an army,
that's you and me, we are rising up, oh, Lord,
there's an army rising.
To break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.
Come on, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh Lord,
there is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain,
break every chain.
Break every chain,
to break every chain.
Come on, declare it.
To break every chain,
break every chain.
agree with that word today. Put your hands together and bless the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's changing me. He's changing my heart. Tell him, say, he's changing my heart. Come on, proclaim it out of your mouth. Say, he's changing my heart. He's changing my heart. And I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around and give someone a high five. Give them a hug. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. We'll see you in a small group tonight, life groups. Go blessed.